It's the worst time of the year. I turn on my radio. No Charlie Steiner. No Rick Monday. Please, come back.
Oh, come on back.
Before you know it, they'll be back on the field at Camelback Ranch.
Why can't this be spring training?
But our coverage of the Blue never stops.
AM 570 LA Sports.
This is off-season Dodger Talk.
Get in on the show by calling 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
And now your host, David Massey.
Happy New Year. We are just a little over a month away from the first Dodgers spring training game at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. I don't think it's too early to say February 23rd, Dodgers White Sox at Camelback Ranch is the first Cactus League game the Dodgers will play in 2019, and that's the first broadcast you will hear on AM 570 LA Sports, Dodgers Radio. And right now it's status quo as far as the Dodgers free agency goes. We'll get into that in just a moment, but I want to remind you that we have a very special Dodger guest on at 7:30 tonight, and he's feeling pretty good about himself because he, John Pratt, the Dodgers video coordinator, and Clayton Kershaw, who was a silent investor, won the Dodgers Fantasy Football League and beat four-time defending champion, four-time defending champion, Farhan Zaidi, who, as you know, is now the GM of the San Francisco Giants. So the first Dodger win against the Giants in 2019 already happened. The Dodgers Fantasy Football Championship game went to Stripling, Pratt, and Clayton Kershaw. 866-987-2570. Pound Blue for our AT&T subscribers, and Stripling will join us. Ross Stripling will join us at 7:30 tonight, and we will talk to him about that and how his off season is going as he prepares for spring training. He had a great first half last year, went to the All-Star game, and second half did not go the way that he would have liked. He was hampered by, I would say, a little bit of fatigue and then a little tipping pitches towards the end of the season, and that's what prevented him from having a role on the postseason roster. But Ross is a great guy, and I'm looking forward to talking to him at 7:30 tonight. All right, back to the Dodgers free agency and the hot stove and all that. The good news for the Dodgers is Corey Kluber and JT Realmuto are still with their respective teams. Kluber has not been traded by the Indians, and Realmuto has not been traded by the Marlins. What's working in the Dodgers' favor as far as the Marlins and JT Realmuto is, there's been other teams that have basically moved on from trying to deal with the Marlins because their expectations for a return for Realmuto are completely unrealistic. I was the first to report that the Marlins were asking for Cody Bellinger in trade talks with the Dodgers. I reported that back at the beginning of November, and I saw some of the trolls on social media and online were basically laughing at me that that report was inaccurate. Well, turns out that it was accurate. And as far as the winter meetings go, the Marlins were still not coming off their stubborn asking price of Cody Bellinger. And from what I understand, still have not. And that's why there is no deal. And not only are the Marlins being stubborn with their asking price when it comes to the Dodgers, but other teams as well. And that's why you've seen teams like the Angels, the Mets, the Braves, the Nationals, all move on from dealing with the Marlins and went in different directions to fill their catching need. So the Dodgers, in some way, are playing the waiting game with the Marlins and might be the last team standing. As far as I know, the Dodgers still have interest in JT Realmuto, and now reports are saying the Houston Astros have interest in Realmuto too. So that's the good news. The Dodgers are still hanging in there. The Marlins still have not traded Realmuto. And according to the people I've talked to in baseball, they all think it's lunacy for the Marlins to go into the regular season with Realmuto as a Marlin because he is only losing value each and every day that he is wearing that Marlins uniform. They only have him under team control for two more years. Now, I guess they could possibly get something equal to at the trade deadline this upcoming regular season, but right now his value is at an all-time high because a team would still get him for the first half of this upcoming season. Now you're talking about having a guy for a year and 3 months if you make that trade on July 31st. So that's the good news. Kluber and Realmuto have not been traded. Bad news is the Dodgers haven't traded for them and haven't been able to make a deal. I really believe they match up really well with the Indians. The Indians need young, controllable outfielders. The Dodgers have young, controllable outfielders, starting with Alex Verdugo. He's the guy. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Now, one of our last shows of 2018, basically you guys had a referendum on me that you did not want me to bring up Bryce Harper anymore. I was on three different AM570 shows today. First day, all the shows were back, and I got three phone calls. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker wanted me on their show. Rogan and Ryan Hollins wanted me on their show. Petros and Money wanted me on their show. And what did they all want to ask me about? That's right, Bryce Harper. So I think we're lifting the referendum if that's what everybody's wondering about, Bryce Harper, and whether or not the Dodgers still have interest or if they're going to sign Bryce Harper. From what I've been told, nothing has changed. The Dodgers still are not going to give Bryce Harper a 10 or 12-year contract. Now, the trade of Yasiel Puig and Matt Kemp give them the flexibility and the option to add a player like Bryce Harper to their outfield. They've unclogged the logjam a little bit. I'd say they've done a pretty good job of unclogging that logjam in the outfield. Now they have to replace the production because I know I've talked about this, having greater roster functionality. And now how about replacing the production? Because Matt Kemp was an all-star the first half of the year. He and Max Muncy carried the offense the first half while Justin Turner missed the first 6 weeks with that broken wrist. And you had Yasiel Puig inconsistent this year. I would say the second half was better than the first half. His postseason was the best that he's ever had in a Dodger uniform. So now you have to replace that production and also replace the threat of a really good defensive player in right field. Now, the reason why I say threat is when he was motivated, Puig was a really good defensive player. But there were times that he was ignoring positioning cues from the coaches, just wasn't listening, and wasn't going along with the game plan. So the Dodgers have to find a way to replace his offensive production and Kemp's the first half of the season. There's two ways to do that. Yeah, you could sign Harper, who, by the way, is pretty good against left-handed pitching. But if the Dodgers make the trade for Realmuto and they sign A.J. Pollock, two really good right-handed hitters, it's a pretty good team as a whole. Now, I know the Dodgers would look a lot better with Corey Kluber in their rotation. Now, if they make the trade for Kluber and sign A.J. Pollock, I think they still have a pretty good team. And you might be asking, why is he bringing up A.J. Pollock? Well, the reason why is I've been told the Dodgers have interest in A.J. Pollock. And in case you haven't noticed, there's 200 free agents that have not been signed yet. So the expectations by players and their agents seem to be really high, and teams, just like last year, are not handing out money emotionally. And that is something that is going to come to a head, I believe, in the next collective bargaining agreement, because players are unhappy. The union's unhappy that players are not being signed. They're not being signed for what they feel is their market value. But from the owner's side of things, they set the market. And what they've done is sign clones. There are, what, 30 teams in baseball? I would say 28 of the 30 function in a very heavy analytical world. And when you're functioning in that analytical world and evaluating players analytically, you are going to evaluate players probably very similar. You may have more needs than another team does, but you're not going to go out of the realm of what most teams feel a player should be paid for the amount of years that player should be paid. So there really is no bidding wars going on in baseball. Maybe Machado and Harper, but neither of those guys have signed yet. Harper reportedly is meeting with the Phillies in Philly for the first time. I guess at the winter meetings in Vegas, Scott Boras met with the Phillies, but Harper wasn't there. This time Harper is going to be there. But I could tell you this, and I've told you this since the beginning. Harper wants to eclipse Giancarlo Stanton's contract, and he is going to wait until Machado signs first, which I believe will come in the next week or two. And by the way, I talked to somebody today that's very close to Machado, and they think he's signing with the White Sox. So all the talk about the Yankees and Phillies, this guy knows Machado probably better than anybody else I talked to, and he feels like he's going to sign with the White Sox. The White Sox are going to be the team that steps up. But after Machado signs, Boras is still going to try to get more than what Giancarlo Stanton got. And that's why I believe that if Harper goes into the first week, he is starting to steer towards a four-year contract somewhere between $150 million and $200 million, which would get him somewhere around $37 to $40 million a year. Whether that's with the Dodgers or another team, that's where it would be going, in my opinion, if he is not signed by the time spring training starts. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, your phone calls plus my annual Hall of Fame vote rant. I'm very passionate about it, and I've kept silent on Twitter because you just can't win there, and really, that's not my platform. Right here is my platform, and that's why you listen. I'm not tweeting. I'm talking. Some people only have Twitter for a platform. We have a real-life platform in talking to each other. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Ross Stripling. Don't go anywhere. More Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. Dodger Talk with David Vasse until 8 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. Hope you're having a great Wednesday night, 2019. 2 days old. Back to the real world for most of us, right? It's a good thing, though. Dodger baseball is on the horizon. Pitchers and catchers report second week of February. The first spring training game is February 23rd. Yes, February 23rd is the first Dodgers Cactus League game, and you can hear that right here on AM570 LA Sports. Coming up at the bottom of the hour will be Dodger pitcher Ross Stripling, Dodger All-Star pitcher Ross Stripling, but we are taking your phone calls, and I will get to my issues with some of the voters in the Hall of Fame balloting, and I promised myself I would not talk about this because it's becoming ridiculous as far as the Hall of Fame voting goes, but I just can't help myself, so we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to hear from you, Dodger fans. I know you're anxious to see what is next for the Dodgers, as we all are, because the Dodgers created some flexibility for themselves with that trade with the Reds when they sent Alex Wood, Kyle Farmer, Yasiel Puig, and Matt Kemp. Not only did they get a pretty good haul back as far as minor league talent goes, but also created some payroll flexibility and a better functioning roster. Now, how do they replace that production? Let's go out to Alhambra. David, you're on Dodger Talk. Hi, David. There you are, David.
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, there you are. What do you have to say tonight?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about the trade that the Dodgers did with Yasiel Puig, and I'm just kind of like thinking, I agree with you that they're going to lose that production, you know, that Puig brought in with the Dodgers. But I also disagree with if the Dodgers try to go after Bryce Harper. I think that's a little too much that they're, you know, that he's asking for. And I think if the competition as far as...
You wouldn't want Bryce Harper for a four-year contract, David?
Well, 4 years, yeah, but, you know, not for what is he asking for, like a 10 or 12, something like that? Or
right, something? Yeah, and they're not going to go that far.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, it's just that, Well, I don't know. I'm not really a big Bryce Harper fan, you know, but I really miss Puig, though. Puig was really the guy, you know, for the right field position. And I just think that maybe they could have traded somebody else instead of Puig.
All right, David, don't be so sad. Puig, you know, not everything lasts forever. I know he was a fan favorite, but, you know, the Dodgers have a realistic opportunity of upgrading that position. Thanks for the phone call. Man, what a downer to start. That was our first phone call of 2019. It was such a downer. Let's go to Dan in Arcadia. Maybe he could lift our spirits here in 2019. What's up, Dan?
On November 1st, the Dodgers acquired an infielder named Justin Yerchak from the White Sox. Who is he, and is he in the Dodgers' immediate plan?
Well, number one, I think the guy that people are talking about that they acquired was Dodgers' Shane Peterson. They acquired him in a minor league contract. I don't know anything about the guy that you just asked about, and I'm not sure many people care about that guy at this point in time. Let's go. Man, we are off to a great start. You know, this is lighting the fire, the fuse that I have about the way Hall of Fame voting is going so far, because a lot of people are making their votes public. And yes, I'm not trying to ignore the two flop phone calls that we just had. I'm just taking a break from the phone calls until you regroup. And I am a kinder, gentler David Vassey. I know some people feel like I'm a little too harsh on the callers, but I mean, how do I ignore what just took place right there, the first two callers of 2019? Anyway, what is going on with some of these voters? And I know the voter stance is you shouldn't call anybody an idiot. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to call anybody an idiot, but I will call you hypocritical. Especially when I see voters' ballot that has check marks next to Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, but does not have a check mark next to Gary Sheffield, and certainly did not have a check mark next to Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa. Maybe you can help me understand why a Hall of Fame voter thinks it's rational to vote for Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, but not Gary Sheffield or Mark McGwire or even Sammy Sosa. Now, I know Sosa is a different category because I feel like his entire career was based on a lie because he wasn't that good until he turned into the Incredible Hulk. Now, Mark McGwire has the all-time rookie record for most home runs hit in one season. Say what you will about Mark McGwire, but he was a really good baseball player with or without enhancements. And that's the thinking behind the voting, I believe, for Roger Clemens and Gary Sheffield. Excuse me, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. Now, Gary Sheffield, I will tell you the story about Gary Sheffield. Number one, he was very transparent about what took place and why he was testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. He put this clear cream on his knee when he was rehabbing during the offseason and said he wasn't aware that it contained steroids in that cream. How did he get that cream? Because he was working out with Barry Bonds during one of the offseasons that he was playing for the Dodgers. How do I know that? I spoke to Gary Sheffield on the phone while he was up north working out with Barry Bonds. And do you know what Gary Sheffield told me after being up there for a week or two? He told me in our phone conversation, you know what? There's something up here. I don't like the vibe up here. I'm leaving. I'm leaving because I don't like working out here. And it made all the sense in the world to me when the Mitchell report came out, or when Gary was exposed for taking this performance-enhancing cream, and he was very transparent about the fact where he got that cream and wasn't aware of what was going on. So that is the story about Gary Sheffield. Now, that still doesn't answer the question why, okay, you want to say black and white, this guy took steroids, no excuse, no rationale. I don't want to hear that story, Vasse. He took steroids. Fine. But how can you explain to me a guy that hit 509 home runs in his career, only one of 27 players in Major League history to hit 500 or more home runs is not getting votes, but Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are getting votes from voters, and Sheffield's name is not being checked off. It just doesn't make sense. And how is Mark McGwire's name off the ballot now when voters now are voting for Bonds and Clemens? Some have said, you know what, I thought about it, and I've changed my mind. Well, Mark McGwire doesn't have the benefit of that. Just in case you forgot, Mark McGwire played 16 seasons in Major League Baseball. 11 of those 16, he hit 30 or more home runs, including the 49 in his rookie year. He was an All-Star 12 times and had a career OPS of 982. He finished with 583 home runs. Like I said, black and white issue, if you're thinking about the way you look at it in absolutes. All right, he took steroids. He knew what he was doing. He shouldn't be allowed in the Hall of Fame. Well, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens knew what they were doing, and now they are getting votes for the Hall of Fame, and voters are softening their stance with those two. Why those two and not anybody else that produced at that Hall of Fame level during their careers? You can't pick or choose. I'm sorry, you can't. If you're voting for Bonds or Clemens, it makes no sense why you wouldn't vote for Gary Sheffield or Mark McGwire or even Alex Rodriguez when he comes on the ballot. Maybe you can help me out to understand that rationale. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Mission Viejo. Joe, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Joe?
Not much, Dave. I was just calling. There's two things I want to say. As far as Harper's concerned, I would much rather have the Dodgers stay away from him and wait for Nolan Arenado. I'm even thinking that's even a possibility of getting him at the trade deadline if Colorado can't do anything with him.
I don't think the Rockies would be trading Arenado to the Dodgers, but I like your thinking, Joe, because he grew up a Dodger fan. He's from El Toro High School, from where you're from, Mission Viejo. So they would have a very good chance to sign Arenado after this season.
Okay. And then also, I agree with you on Gary Sheffield, because his on-base percentage, on top of all his offensive numbers, is pretty good. Really good, actually. I think it's like in the 400.
Hall of Fame
range.
Good.
And also, one guy they keep missing on is Jeff Kent. I don't understand why he hardly gets any votes.
Exactly. Why is Jeff Kent not getting any votes? He was never suspected of using any performance-enhancing drugs. His statistics for second baseman is better than some of the guys that are already in the Hall of Fame. And with all due respect to Chase Utley, I know there's an emotional attachment to all the Philly lovers out there, but Jeff Kent is more of a Hall of Famer than Chase Utley.
Yeah, I agree with you totally.
All right, Joe, thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Rancho Cucamonga. Chris, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, DV? Welcome to 2019.
Yeah, I love that energy. You see, now I feel like we're back on track. I feel like this is a good way to get back on track in 2019. What's up, Chris?
That's Dodgers year, baby. Well, I just want to say, with all this Hall of Fame talk, you know, I'm a firm believer. They were untouchable when they played. Who cares about steroids? I really don't care. They made the game better.
Right. So why wouldn't Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa brought the game back? And
pretty much,
if you read the reports, everybody was pretty aware of what was going on, but the game needed to come back to life, and basically everybody turned a blind eye to it.
Mark McGwire was the first ballot Hall of Famer without anything. If nothing would have came out, first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no reason why he should.
Can you
right
explain
now
to me, Chris? Maybe you can help me understand the rationale of why a voter would vote for Bonds and Clemens but would not vote for Sheffield or Mark McGwire.
They're chickens. A bunch of chickens. That's what they are, man. They don't want to come out and say it, but they're a bunch of chickens that don't know what they're doing. I don't understand why we have so many voters anyways. They need to cut it down probably to half of them and just make it respectable. People who are actually writing for just the Daily Beat, some of those guys shouldn't even be voters. They need to be national, man.
All right, Chris, what do you have to say about the Dodgers? I love it.
Hey, but honest with you, hey, thank you for correcting me on DJ LeMahieu. I looked it up, man. I definitely, now I see why we're just going to platoon it. But number two, Bryce Harper is a no-go for me. I'm not a fan. I don't like his antics on the field personally. I don't like the way he's a hothead. However, will he bring a big bat and a great arm to us? Yes. But for 10 years, I definitely understand why they're not signing anybody for 10 years. A four-year deal, we might be able to get two rings out of 2 years out of four out of him. So I understand if they do it, but he'll never be a fan favorite in the LA jersey. I just don't believe it.
All right, Chris, I disagree with you. I think Harper would be a fan favorite in LA. I just think he's that type of guy that when he's on your team, you love him. You love his passion. You love the edge that he brings. But when he's on another team, you just – not into the big hair and the emotions that he has on the field. I feel like the Dodgers could use some of that edge, and I don't mind a guy with an edge. I think it's good. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. When we come back, a little bit behind. When we come back, Ross Stripling will join us, and then we'll take more of your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Dodger Talk with David Vasse until 8 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports. This is Dodger Talk with David Vasse here with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. We are still taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. But we have a very special guest on the line right now. 2018 was pretty good for Ross Stripling. He made the Dodger rotation, then made his first All-Star game, and 2018 culminated in a win for the people in fantasy football in the Dodger League. He, John Pratt, and sugar daddy Clayton Kershaw beat Farhan Zaidi for the first time in 3 years. So congratulations, Ross, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on, man. Good to hear your voice. Happy New Year.
And I guess I should say 2018, you got married to your beautiful wife, Shelby, as well, right?
That was actually November 17, but close enough.
All right, all right. Well, 17 spilling over into 18 was a pretty good year for you.
Man, it was a blast. You know, a lot of great things, many things that you touched on. But, I mean, to culminate it with a fantasy victory, you know, that's as good as it gets. A lot of momentum headed into 2019.
I mean, come on. I mentioned this to you off the air. This was not only a win for you guys. It's always great to win the tournament. But it was a win for the team to not allow Farhan to win for a third straight year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And actually, it would have been for a fourth straight year, believe it or not.
Even worse.
What's funny is, so our clubbies get a team. Farhan has a team, Friedman has a team, and then it was players after that. And we were the last players available because the clubbies, Farhan, and Friedman, and ourselves were the final four.
Wow.
So we only had a 25% chance for a player to take the championship, and we were able to come out with a victory and not let Farhan leave with another one, you know, right up into the sunset. So that was good to get that win.
Yeah, I was leaving Vegas with Friedman on the eve of his semifinal matchup against Farhan, and he really wanted to beat him, but Farhan found a way to the finals against you guys. And I would say from your partner John Pratt's perspective, you were a heavy underdog in that finals.
Yeah, you know, just in name alone, you know, Farhan with the three straight wins going for a fourth, such an intimidator, you know. also on paper, I mean, I think he was projected to outscore us by like 20-something, which is just a big number for a fantasy football championship, you know. But, man, it came down to Sunday Night Football. We needed two big games from Williams, the third string back for the Chiefs, who all of a sudden was a starter, and then Doug Baldwin, who we hadn't played all year. And all of a sudden, they throw them out there in the championship, and they both went off for us, and we ended up winning by like 3 or 4 points.
Wow. So you beat Farhan in the finals of your fantasy football league by only 3 or 4 points?
Yep, I believe so. I don't know the exact score, but yeah, I think it was that close.
Now, the way I feel about this is you and John Pratt, your video coordinator, were the brains of the operation, and Kershaw's the big name, but really just the sugar daddy of this operation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sugar daddy's a good term. He probably wouldn't like that one, so maybe I call him an angel investor. You know, he just wants some skin in the game, so he's willing to front the cost of a team so he can talk a little smack in the locker room, and he's going to be on his high horse now for the next, 6-7 months until next football season. So he got his money's worth, I think.
Now, is there a trophy?
You know, to my knowledge, there's not a trophy, but you know, as the victors going forward. Maybe we'll, you know, make an amendment going into next season. There needs to be a trophy.
Yeah, and that trophy should preside in the Stripling house, because I know your other partner, I mentioned John Pratt, he deleted the fantasy football app off his phone, so you were the guy making all the moves.
Yeah, last year he was the GM and I was the consultant, and then I think he got too stressed and we flip-flopped it. So this year I had to log in and I would go in and make the moves, obviously with his you know, input and approval, and obviously it worked. So I guess we'll probably continue that relationship moving forward.
Now, I know the money is great, but the trash talking, like you said, and the bragging rights is the best part. Was there any text to Farhan Zaidi for a little trash talk since he's with the Giants now?
Well, you know what was funny was we were kind of plotting what we should say to Farhan. You know, we wanted it to be good. And all of a sudden we got a group chat from Farhan that was like, well, my reign comes to an end, you know, congrats to you guys. And Kershaw immediately responded. He was like, don't be nice and make this not fun for us.
You know? Yeah.
We had to fire back with a little bit of smack, but, it was much more cordial than I would have liked. I feel like we should have let Farhan have it a little bit more than we did.
Yeah, he's trying to get ahead of it. So if he acts humble on a text, it takes away the fun of trash talking to him.
Exactly. Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Ross Stripling is our guest. The Dodgers are really close to spring training. Pitchers and catchers report the second week of February. Can you believe it's that soon, Ross? And what have you done during the offseason that may have been different from years past since you pitched more innings than any other year?
Right. You know, well, it is hard to believe. You know, the offseasons just fly by faster and faster every time, especially when you play basically to November every year. You know, so me personally, this year it's kind of been more of the same. You know, I'm very happy with what went down last year and how I was able to pitch. Obviously, kind of ran out of gas a little bit, so you know, kind of just letting the innings workload, you know, kind of speak for itself, and then try and build off of it. You know, so trying to obviously kind of do the same thing as putting on weight and that kind of stuff. That way, you know, I have the stamina and strength to go, you know, another 130, 150, even 180 innings if that's what's asked of me. So just trying to make sure my body's strong and in a position to cover that many innings, like you said.
I remember you told me either at the beginning of this spring training or when you were getting ready to make a run for the major league roster when you were just breaking out from the minor leagues, you made a concerted effort to make your legs stronger. Is that what you're talking about when you said you put on weight, and are you continuing to try to do that?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, with the grind of a season, you just kind of naturally lose weight. You know, you can, and position players probably even battle it way more than we do because they're out there for 162 games. But just, you know, that amount of travel and your schedule, all that, you just kind of gradually go down in weight. So I might show up in spring training at 220, 223, somewhere in there. And by the end of the season, I'm like 210, 212.
Wow.
So you spend the offseason trying to put that mass back on, which for me is mostly in my lower half because I'm naturally very skinny. So I got to work pretty hard to keep that weight on. So just crushing Chipotle, crushing calories, eating as much as I can, and just making sure I'm showing up to spring training in a good spot, you know, feeling as strong, just knowing that the grind of 162 games plus spring and playoffs is going to slowly just kind of wear you down.
Ross, I'm curious, what did you learn about yourself last year, and where do you think the biggest lesson came?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think, you know, you can't really plan or prepare yourself for starting 25 games in the major league level until you do it. You know, I think it just kind of snowballed on me where, you know, I was feeling great, things were going well, and all of a sudden it just kind of, not necessarily fell apart, but just, you know, I just didn't have the energy that you have in April and May, and you know, you got to find a way to either tailor your workouts back or do something different in the weight room, whatever it is that, you know, when August and September and even October come around, that you got just as much energy. So, you know, that, and that's kind of only comes with experience. And I hadn't started, you know, really consistently since the minor league. So hopefully, you know, that was a learning process. Hopefully I got that under my belt now. Now, you know, I might end up the whole year in the bullpen, but I also might make 20-something starts. So at least I'm ready for that if that's what comes. And, you know, I'll be ready.
How much did the consistency of being in the rotation help your season and snowball in a good way?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You know, I think as a guy that has done both between bullpen and rotation, they're both great in different ways. The bullpen's kind of fun because you're part of this like little group of seven or eight guys that stay together and are very proud of the work that they do, and you're in every game, and you're ready from pitch one to the last pitch because you don't know when you're going in. You know, so that's a really fun aspect of baseball that I didn't really get to experience until kind of late 2016, and then found my way back in the rotation, which is, getting out there pitching with the chess match of facing guys multiple times, and you get 4 days off in the dugout where you're grinding with your teammates, and you're in there with Kershaw and Rich Hill and even like an Alex Wood, kind of picking their brains and learning stuff from them. And it's just really cool to be able to kind of do both and experience both for extended periods of time. Like you said, to know you're going to take the ball every fifth day in the big leagues at that level is a special feeling. You know, that's a select group. There's only five on each team, so to be a guy that the team relies on and counts on every fifth day to go out there and give him a chance to win. That's something you can't take for granted.
Ross Stripling is our guest here on Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports. You mentioned being part of that rotation last year, Ross, with Alex Wood. How tough was it to swallow him being traded to Cincinnati? Because I know how tight he was with everybody in that clubhouse.
Yeah, that's a big clubhouse loss. You're going to trust Andrew Friedman and everything that he does. He always puts us in great positions to win, obviously we believe wholeheartedly that he knows what he's doing. But to lose a buddy like Alex, that kind of stinks. He's my roommate in spring training, and Kyle Farmer. We lost both of them. They're my roommates in spring training. My wife is very close with both of their wives. He's an awesome locker room guy. Just a good buddy. So someone, obviously, they only maybe had one more year in the Dodger uniform in his last year of arbitration. So maybe moving on after that, but would have certainly enjoyed to have him around for one more year.
I guess what makes it a little bit more difficult, Ross, you talk about those bonds that you make with him and other guys on the team. There really hasn't been significant turnover the last 3 years. So does that make it a little bit tougher when there is something as big as what took place before Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. When I think of, I debuted in 16, think about the core of that team is still pretty much intact, with the Kershaws and the Justin Turners and the Kenley Jansons of the world, and you could even throw Alex Wood in there, so to lose him, just kind of shows you the business side of baseball, and that, not necessarily that no one's safe, but you can kind of say that, anyone can get traded at any moment, and sometimes that breaks up good friendships, or at least makes it where it's certainly tougher to keep in touch. But we understand that that's part of it, and that's what you sign up for. But it'll definitely be a different locker room and a different starting rotation without Alex Wood in there.
It sounds like you got a guy in Joe Kelly, Ross, that kind of will fit into that clubhouse because how excited he is about being with the Dodgers. And I hate to break this to you, Ross, but Andrew Friedman told me you're in a competition now for pinch running with Joe Kelly. He might have a little bit faster wheels than you, according to Andrew.
No, I didn't know that. I wish you didn't tell me that. I feel like I got to get over back into the weight room and work on my speed. We'll maybe have to race in spring training for the job. But I've heard nothing but good things about him. Michael Wacha, one of my good buddies, was teammates with him with the Cardinals and just had nothing but good things to say. So certainly a special arm and a special talent, as we saw, in the playoffs. So someone that we're glad to have on our side.
Hey, Ross, even if he is faster than you, nobody has the flair. He does not have the flair that you have as a pinch runner.
I don't know, man. He rocks like the goggle glasses kind of thing. He's got a pretty good look going. He might have a little bit more flair. We'll have to see.
Whatever. We could get you goggles. We could get you the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles to upstage him when you pinch run.
You're right. Just when I run, I'll wear the goggles.
Ross, it's great to hear your voice. I love being around you every day during the summer. You're one of the best guys to talk to and so inclusive, so I really appreciate that and can't wait to see you in spring training.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it, Dave. Looking forward to it, man.
Hey, and congratulations on the fantasy football win as well.
Thank you, man. Yeah, can't wait to post that one around the spring training.
Yeah, forget about ping pong. You could just live off of that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Ross, thanks a lot for the time, and we'll see you in a month.
Yep, sounds good. Have a good one.
There he is, Ross Stripling, The people's champion. That's right. He, John Pratt, and Clayton Kershaw. They are the champions of the Dodgers Fantasy Football League, and Ross was the brains behind the operations. John Pratt, like I mentioned, deleted the app, and Kershaw was along for the ride. I'll put it that way. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go back out to the phones. Thanks to everybody that was being patient. But, hey, when you got Ross Stripling calling from Texas, you got to put him on the show. Let's go out to San Diego. Paolo, Happy New Year.
Ciao, Davide. Buon anno. Happy New Year, but how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, listen, I got one name on for your Hall of Fame. What about Dale Murphy of the Braves?
I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer. He was a good player, but not really a Hall of Famer. If you're going to say Dale Murphy, Steve Garvey should be in the Hall of Fame.
You're right, but I agree with you with Gary Sheffield, and I would love to see him in a Dodger uniform.
Yeah, he was great as a Dodger.
So, about this Harper situation, I would get him for 4 years, no more than five, because if you think that Zach Greinke makes $33 million a year, he only pitches once every 5 days.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, but not for 10 years, because if history is taught us anything, you know, those long contracts at the end of they're never going to last. I would rather, you know, spread my eggs in the basket with, say, get a Maldonado, which is a free agent. You don't have to give up for anything as a catcher. Or DJ LeMieux at second base, which he hits really good against lefties. And then, you know, my Christmas present would be Kluber or Bauer, for that matter. Again, you know, you don't have to give up, you know, well, probably you have to give up maybe Alex Verdugo. Again, you know, or AJ Pollock, for that matter. They're all free agents, so, you know, you don't have to give up anything. But, again,
well,
for Harper,
DJ LeMahieu, though, is a guy that doesn't hit as well away from Coors Field as he does at Coors Field. His career average at Coors Field is .300. Away from Coors Field, he's only hitting .264. And I could tell you this, Paolo, the Dodgers, despite what the reports are out there, do not have interest in signing LeMahieu. Their priorities are still the bullpen, catching, and we'll see what the outfield brings.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but if anything, you know, again, Harper, I would love him no more than 4 years. After, you know, but not for that kind of money. I'm sorry, not for that kind of length of contract.
It's not your money, Paolo.
Well, a little bit, because, you know, I'm a paid fan anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But come on, they got money. Teams in baseball have money, but I understand it's the long-term contract. Teams don't want to lock themselves into, even with a player that's 26 years old. A lot can happen in 10 years, as we have seen. But you look at the contract Alex Rodriguez signed with the Texas Rangers around the same age as Bryce Harper was, and that kind of that contract worked out when you saw the inflation of contracts over the time of Alex's 10-year deal. But I will say this, Alex Rodriguez was a generational player. I don't believe Bryce Harper is as good as Bryce Harper is. And I don't believe Bryce Harper is as good as Alex Rodriguez was, especially at this point in time in their careers. He might turn out to be close to that level, but I don't believe Bryce Harper is the number one player in Major League Baseball. And Alex, at the time, he was right up there with guys like King Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds. So Harper is not in that class right now, but he's a really good player. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Bronson in Arcadia. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Bronson?
DV, man, happy new year to you. Happy new year to Ronnie Fazio back in the on the ones and twos, taking my phone call. Shout out to him. DV, man, let me tell you, bro, I'm tired, man. I'm exhausted. All I do is read these reports, read these writers, these national writers that have no clue, haven't followed the Dodgers one day in their life, don't know baseball, don't know what they're talking about. And you know what, DV? You're saying what all my uncles, all my grandpas, everybody's saying, man. They laugh at me every time I bring up Verdugo, Barnes. You know what I mean? All they do is laugh. Oh, those are minor leaguers. There's a way big difference between the minor leagues and the Well, you know what, DV? I mean, Corey Seager was in the minors. Cody Bats was in the minors. Max Muncy was – Max Muncy didn't have a job, bro. Justin Turner didn't have a job, man.
So you're saying, you know, so you're saying trust the kids.
You know what, DB?
You're saying Verdugo, you know, over anybody else. Do not trade, you know, Alex Verdugo for Corey Kluber, for JT Realmuto, with a team that is trying to win the World Series.
You know what, JT DB? You know what, DB? Who's Corey Kluber, man?
He's only time, a Cy Young. He's a 20-game winner. That's who he is.
Last time I checked, man, we had 8 starting pitchers deep in our rotation.
Quantity,
you know,
quantity is a lot different than quality, Bronson.
DV, there's a huge difference between pitching in the National League West when there's actual competition.
There is?
Rather than the AL Central.
Oh, please. Bronson, take a step back. Take a breath. Are you telling me that the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants are going to give the Dodgers any chance, any hard time this year? Yeah, they may win some games, but those teams are not as competitive as what we saw even in the AL Central last year. So, and not to mention, there is no DH. You're facing a pitcher. I hate to disagree with you, Bronson. I love your excitement and enthusiasm, but sorry, Corey Kluber would have an easier road in the National League without a DH, without facing the AL East, and B, in the NL West, where 3 teams are basically rebuilding.
I don't know, DV. It just seems like the AL Central was just super weak. The Indians barely had 90 wins, and nobody after that, the Tigers, Twins, nobody
so
was in it.
Basically,
the AL East
so,
wasn't even that strong.
So you're
man.
Saying you're not sold on Corey Kluber and what he's done at the major league level, winning a Cy Young, being a finalist for the Cy Young this past year and winning 20 games, pitching 200 innings each of the last 5 years, but you are sold on Alex Verdugo and his handful of games that he has played with the Dodgers. That's what you're telling me, Bronson.
You know what, DV? You know what I'm sold on? I'm sold on this Dodgers front office, who's taken us to back-to-back World Series appearances since, what, since 88, DV? And you're telling me you don't believe in them? You're telling me Verdugo?
That's a different – I'm not saying that. We're talking about Verdugo and Corey Kluber. We're not debating whether or not I trust the Dodger front office, and it's hard to argue with what they've been able to do. Thanks for the phone call, Bronson. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Sorry, hate to break it to you. I trust Corey Kluber and what he's been able to do. Alex Verdugo may have a great career, but just like Yasiel Puig, needs focus. Let's go out to Manuel in Gardena. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, our last caller of the night, Manuel.
Happy 2019, Cal. I'm with you all day. Hans Gruber, Kluber is insane when it comes to that mound duty. And he would look mighty fine at Chavez Ravine winning 20 back-to-back with CA1. Come on, Dodger fans. Let's get behind right there.
All right, Manuel, you're in cell hell. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week. All right. Thanks to everybody for listening tonight. We will be back on tomorrow for a short period of time in between Petros and Money and UCLA basketball. Murray, don't call me Gene Barto, is the new UCLA head basketball coach, and he has taken them to Stanford for the Pac-12 opener. So we will be on from 7 to 7:30. Andy McCullough, national baseball writer for the LA Times, will join us. And then next week, we'll be on 3 times, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So more Dodger talk coming in 2019 as we get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting and closer to the first Dodgers Cactus League game, which will be on February 23rd right here on AM570 LA Sports. Thanks to Ross Stripling for being our guest tonight and calling in. You could podcast that interview at AM570LASports.com. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio and his mustache for all their help tonight. 2-man wrecking crew behind the board and on the phones tonight. Have a great night. See ya. I love